They sound confrontational, and they are. And they come from a surprising source, a man with an unclean spirit in the synagogue. But these words should hit close to home. They pose a defining question. It is a question that speaks in many ways for all of us. Jesus, what have you to do with us? What do you want from us? Why have you come here? I gather that for most of us sitting here tonight, we can easily answer those questions, yet at times with the daily challenges that we come across in our lives, those answers may not come so quickly or seem so apparent. For those times when our hearts and minds seem at odds, or there is a natural tension between what we should do or not, our liturgy touches upon a faithful attribute of discipleship that can help us during those moments, listening to God. On the cusp of entering the Promised Land, Moses sets out to instruct the Hebrews by relating a promise that God made to him, that from among their kind a mighty prophet will arise, one whom will speak for God, one whom the people shall listen to and obey. Successive generations of Israelites had passed, but not the hope of that promise being fulfilled. Over the past two Sundays, we heard the realization of what God said to Moses as Jesus begins his ministry by calling the apostles who left everything behind and followed him. Talk about listening to and obeying the word of God. Talk about the calling we have been invited to share in as we listen attentively to Jesus and follow his example each and every day of our lives. And our psalm refrain encourages us to have this faithful disposition. If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. When we speak of listening in matters of the faith, it means more than just hearing words. Rather, it means an openness to discernment and acting upon what we are being called to do by God. Something that the Pope touched upon in his homily last week on Word of God Sunday. We need to stop being deaf to God's word. This is a risk for all of us. Overwhelmed by a barrage of words, we let the word of God glide by. We hear it, yet we fail to listen to it. We listen to it, yet we do not keep it. We keep it, yet we do not let it provoke us to change. In Paul's letter, we are given some practical advice on how we can avoid being tone deaf to God's word by setting our hearts and minds on God so that the distractions of the world do not fill us with anxiety. That being the tension between acting within the hold of cultural or societal mores or holding true to sacred scripture and the teachings of Jesus's Holy Catholic Church. Turning towards our gospel, one of the major theological themes in Mark's account is Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom and cured those who were in need of healing. We see these two aspects unfold in tonight's passage. The setting is in a synagogue in Capernaum as Jesus begins his ministry in a familiar place, a sacred place, one steeped in Jewish tradition and devotion, a place of teaching on God's word. There, the one who is the word, the fulfillment of the promise made to Moses, preaches the word, doing it so powerfully that the people are amazed at him, for he teaches as one having authority and not as the scribes. Jesus' words have an effect on the listeners. They are uplifted and inspired. Through him, they find God. The amazement they experience is that of one who encounters the divine. Jesus and his word is where this encounter takes place. An encounter that we are sharing in this evening, celebrating this heavenly banquet and preparing ourselves to meet Jesus in the most blessed sacrament, listen to what he asks us to do as his disciples. We should always believe and trust that what Jesus offers, the world cannot. What Jesus teaches, the world does not understand. Jesus is the one who speaks for God, the one whom we should always listen to. As Jesus tells us, if you remain in my word, you will truly be my disciples, and you will know the truth. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and life. In that synagogue, there was a man with an unclean spirit, who upon approaching Jesus shows not only the authority of Jesus' word, but that Jesus came into the world to heal. He came to effect change, to convert hearts, to transform the world. And Jesus started by calling out what was unclean and making a broken man once again whole. The one who brought peace to that troubled soul in Capernaum wants to bring that peace to each and every one of us. This is the first recorded miracle in Mark, one of about 20 miracles and healings that make up nearly a third of his gospel. In fact, over the next two Sundays, we will hear accounts of other miracles, one after another, all leading us to the sacred season of Lent. These healings illustrate Jesus' power over a wounded world. As we look at the events that unfolded so far this year, we see a world wounded in so many ways, troubled by so many unclean spirits, the spirit of hate and division, of pride and indifference. There is the unclean spirit of violence and rage, and threaded throughout so much of it, the spirit of helplessness and despair. Friends, we have in this moment of time the opportunity to effect a positive difference. By the grace of God, we have been afforded that same calling of those early disciples to follow Jesus and proclaim his message of loving God above all things, and to love our neighbor as ourselves, despite whatever challenges that may present, despite what notions we may have of our capabilities to make a difference, something that St. Teresa of Calcutta had once spoken about. Not all of us can do great things, but we can do small things with great love. So as we leave Mass tonight, inspired by the Word of God, and strengthened by the true presence of Jesus in the Eucharist, what steps can we take to listen what Jesus asks of us so that we continue his work of preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and cure those who are in need of healing?